I make my way to a few churches, and I can assure you that South Maine is blessed in so many ways, and one of the ways is by the remarkable and beautiful music that you all are privileged to participate in week after week. Well, like scattered seed, Scripture may be found in strategic locations across South Maine's expansive and beautiful campus. Last Sunday morning, we considered together verses found on the Centennial Clock Tower on Main Street. And this is the verse that says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. And we paired that with the text that includes, as you've done unto the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you've done it as unto me. We see that this is the rhythm of this congregation, and the two takeaways were that we are to run to the Lord and we're to reach out for the Lord. This morning I would like to continue a four-part series that I've created. No one's asked me to do it. I've actually kind of done it myself, although the pastor signed off on it before he signed out for a while. And the idea is that I want to take scriptures that you all have said to one another that matter to us. So I want to take these scriptures that matter to South Maine and to reflect with you upon these scriptures. So this morning, I want to take two more texts. One, as Greg has already drawn our attention to. By the way, Greg Funderburk is a remarkable writer. If you've not purchased his first book, you should, and you're going to get a chance to purchase his second book in the not-too-distant future. He didn't ask me to say that. In fact, he's probably upset with me that I have. But behind me, as you shall see, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And as some of you see, as you get on the elevator near the first floor in the Lessner building, namely, you are the salt of the earth. So I want us to look at these two texts together today. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You are the salt of the earth. But before we do, let's pause. Let's pray. Our good and our loving God, we thank you for the Word made flesh, Christ Jesus, and we thank you for your written Word, which for us is lamp to feet and light to path. It guides us even as it goads us. We thank you for your inspired Word that is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And here is our prayer. Hear our prayer. May your word this day, which does not return void, fall on the fertile soil of our souls, reaping 30 and 60 and 100-fold. Give us, we ask, O God, ears to hear. Give us eyes to see, so that we might be all that you would have us to be, through your good grace displayed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The three phases or phrases described, inscribed above your baptistry in this stunning sanctuary. In fact, this sanctuary is so beautiful you get distracted if you allow yourself, which you may want to allow yourself during the midst of this sermon. So, there are worse things. I mean, the truth is, if it's a bad sermon, you should never get bored at South Maine. Just saying. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. For those of you who have engaged in Bible trivia of late, you know that this is Ephesians 4:5. In fact, this threefold affirmation is joined with four others in Ephesians 4:4, in Ephesians 4:6. So taken together, there is a sevenfold affirmation in Scripture. Seven signals perfection. And the perfection is the unity that believers are to achieve together in the bond of peace. So we are to be one body, one spirit, with one hope. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and of course, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. One Lord. The Lord in view here is clear. Jesus Christ our Lord, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is a new creation by water and by word. One faith. Paul can say to the Corinthians that I delivered to you that which I also received, that Christ died according to the Scriptures, was buried and was raised according to the Scriptures. This is the one faith of which Ephesians 4:5 speaks. One baptism. Baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, given its location, it's not only true for realtors, it's true in churches. Location, location, location. Given its location, the inscription is meant to be an affirmation of believers' baptism. It's one of the distinctive beliefs of this congregation and all those congregations that bear the name Baptist. This affirmation of baptism is found more fully in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. Would you listen? You know, do you not, that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. You may recall, as you are plunged into the watery grave that is baptism, the minister speaks over you, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Even as Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan, and even as Jesus instructed his disciples to make disciples of all the nations, by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe whatsoever things that he had commanded him, so also South Main Baptist Church situates itself in this stream, this long and living stream that did not begin with you or with any other Baptist for that matter, but bearing witness through believers' baptism, through immersion, that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not unusual for, once again, a minister to ask a person who is being baptized, what is your confession of faith? And they confess, as Christians from our inception have confessed, Jesus is Lord. And it's based upon that confession of faith that we are then baptized. So this inscription is, among other things, an affirmation of baptism. But you know what? I gather, although I've not been told this, can I invent it? That it's an invitation to baptism. The question that the Ethiopian eunuch puts to Philip, one of the seven in Acts 8, pertains here. Recall, look, here is water. what can stand in the way of my being baptized? To confess Jesus as Lord and to commit to follow him as Lord enables one to be baptized. See, there's much water here. And even as the act of baptism is a witness to those who watch, those who baptized are called to bear witness, to be a witness to others. I was speaking with Matt before the service, and we're convinced that it may not be unique, but it is distinct. At South Main Baptist Church, when you are baptized, after having been baptized, that salt would be taken and placed upon your lip, that light would be given so that you carry it forth from the baptistry itself. This isn't happenstance. This has been thought through carefully. That your baptismal identity is, in fact, to be salt and to be light. Once again, this is grounded in sacred scripture. In Matthew 5, in the midst of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by people. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but they place it on a lampstand and it illumines the entire room. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and give praise to your Father, the one who is in heaven." Jesus begins this so-called Sermon on the Mount by offering his disciples 9 Beatitudes. He says that his disciples are blessed, even if we do not always regard the things that he says are blessings to be a blessing. The truth is as disciples, we are blessed to be a blessing. It was Jesus himself who said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." You see, as salt, we are to season. We are perhaps to preserve that which is in and around us. Failure to serve as salt, that is, failure to offer a winsome witness to Jesus in the world, is a betrayal, a denial of our very identity, our very vocation as disciples. Similarly, Jesus instructs his disciples that we are to be the light of the world, even as a city on a hill cannot be hidden, and even as people don't light a lamp and put it under a bushel. So disciples are to let their lights shine, this little light of mine. We're to be a winsome witness to a watching world. The good deeds that we do are not ultimately to bring attention or to draw attention to us, but are to give praise to the Lord, are to encourage others to pursue God, the one from whom all blessings flow. This inscription, it's an affirmation, it's an invitation to baptism, and it's an invitation, even as Matt in his prayer has encouraged us to do, to remember our own baptism. I became a Christian best I knew how on June 21st, 1974. The reason I know the date is because my mom was thoughtful enough to write it into the little New Testament that the church that I was attending Vacation Bible School gave me at the end of that week. 1 year later, I was baptized into the First Baptist Church of Wichita Falls. I was born in Hardscrabble, Texas, so these temperatures are nothing to me. We were a hardy lot. I remember that it was nothing growing up to have highs in the 110 teens and then to have lows in single digits. Yes, I, like my parents, walked to school in the snow, barefoot, uphill both ways. I wish I remembered more about my baptism. And I wish that I were more then and now. But what I remember is that I was baptized into a room and into a church and before a room of folks that were proud of me and pulling for me. And I know that that happens here with some degree of regularity. So, if baptism is in fact part of our identity as Christians, and if this inscription is an invitation to remember your own baptism, let me ask you a few questions. Do you in fact remember your baptism? Has it shaped your commitments? Has it shaped your conduct? Are you leaning into it and living out your baptismal identity? I read Paul for a living. Well, I used to before I became an administrator. And I'm shocked sometimes at what Paul writes, and you say, I am too, but perhaps for different reasons. In this case, though, he's writing to a motley crew of Corinthians. This is a ragtag bunch, I can assure you. And Paul describes who they were and how they once lived before noting that they were washed, that is, baptized. They were sanctified. They were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. And the takeaway is it changed everything. Their identity was something other than, something that they were not prior to. So baptism marks one's inclusion, incorporation into the body of Christ, the family of faith. Another baptismal text, allow me to read it, Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29. It's familiar. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you were baptized into Christ, and all of you who were have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Baptism is not to be confused or conflated with salvation itself, but it's to be viewed as an act of obedience, of allegiance to King Jesus, who himself was baptized, as an act of affirmation of John's ministry, yes, inauguration of his own right, but also we gather as an act of identification with sinful people just like us. The significance and the ongoing relevance of believers' baptism, then, which is meant to inform and infuse our lives as Christ followers, is of signal importance. It's something we should ponder with some degree of regularity. I don't know if you know the music of Kyle Matthews, you may or you may not, but I do, and I've been captured by this song, so I'm going to read the lyrics of Been Through the Water. I know you're not meant to read to people, but I hope that you can listen as he poetically, poignantly brings home the meaning of baptism. Preacher pulled the boy up from the water. Hallelujahs rose from the banks. There was a new set of clothes from his father and a prayer of thanks. The boy walked barefooted all the way home for dinner. And when they laughed at his muddy feet, he said, I've been through the water and I've come out clean. Got new clothes to cover me. And you don't wear old shoes on your brand new feet when you've been through the water. Ah, been through the water. Preacher turned them around at the altar, pronounced the boy and his girl man and wife. In 2 years they were mother and father, and they built them a life. And his old girlfriend saw a moment of weakness, and she said, "If you're lonely, come see me sometime." He said, "I've been through the water, and I've come out clean. Got new clothes to cover me, and you don't wear old shoes on your brand new feet when you've been through the water, been through the water." He baits a hook with his grandson of 7 and says, "Soon I'll be free from these pains." The boy asks if he's ever been to heaven. He says, "No, but I think I know the way, because I've been through the water and I've come out clean. I got new clothes to cover me, and you don't wear your old shoes on brand new feet when you've been through the water." Have you been through the water? You can. See, there's much water here. What prohibits you from being baptized?